This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world with work deadlines and horrible bosses.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
And your team may be in last place. We can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You're going to leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwynn and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
Monte tried to sneak the cheese past the rat there.
And Chris Ello.
Shostert ready to go. The 1-2 pitch slider, strike three, called, a no-hitter.
Gwynn and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Coming up in the next 30 minutes, listen for your name to be called and call us back at 833-288-0973 to win a pair of tickets to see Dana Carvey at Harrah's Resort, SoCal, on Saturday, February 1st. And also be entered to win our grand prize, a Vegas getaway that includes two tickets to the Mob Museum with underground speakeasy experience, dinner at Las Vegas Oscars Steakhouse, and a two-night stay at the iconic Plaza Hotel, Plaza and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Make sure you sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter. Yesterday's show was really tough for me, only from the standpoint as I was trying to avoid the score of the Lakers-Bulls game.
You guys are crazy.
Yeah, see, that's tough. That's tough to do when you're on air talking about sports. Right. Like, my thing is, I DVR NBA playoff games all the time during the baseball season because I'm there covering a baseball game. But I'm writing and I'm downstairs talking to players.
You're doing
and
your
then
job.
I'm upstairs doing my job.
Yeah.
But your job is
talking sports,
knowing what's going on in the Lakers game.
Right. So I had to avoid like ESPN on the computer. I had to avoid like any of the sports. So I had to know my stuff yesterday, because I couldn't go back and reference it because I was scared that I might run into the score. And then, of course, Chris is a Bulls fan. And during the course of having him on yesterday, he, of course, wanted to tell me the score to ruin it for me, especially since his team turned out to be winning for pretty much three quarters of the game. And then the fourth quarter happened, and the Lakers went on to win. They are now 6-1, a team that looks very deep right now. On the flip side, the other team in L.A., the Clippers, are 5-2. They're back in action tonight against the Milwaukee Bucks, and there's a little bit of a heat coming their way because Kawhi Leonard, of course, will sit out due to, what do they call it? Load management is what they call it. And I have to say, this worked out big time for him last year, coming off of a year in which he missed the entire season due to some type of quad injury. He did this throughout the course of the season, was fresh at the end. I don't know if you guys remember in that finals, he was kind of limping around a little bit on that quad as he finished, as they got to the finish line. They won a championship. He was the MVP. Everything is good. So now we're in season two of load management, and on a national televised game, Kawhi Leonard on the front end of a back-to-back will not be in the lineup today, AJ.
This is what the NBA gets. It's their own fault. It's their own doing. They've created a system and a regular season where the games ultimately aren't all that important.
Oh my! You know what?
So,
go ahead.
Am I taking your point?
No, you're not.
So,
go ahead.
So the games aren't all that important, each one. And so the job of these organizations, and I think the Spurs were the first team to do this, is to win a championship. They set their goal on how do we best win a title in June. And it's valiant, it's noble to play 82 games, but your best job, your best chance of doing that and sustaining the grind is doing what teams have done in the past with managing LeBron's workload, with managing Kawhi's workload this way. And so if you're going to create a system where the game means so little that you can rest your best player and it really won't have that much of an effect on what happens down the stretch. Think about it this way. The only way this has an effect is if the Clippers lose out by one game for maybe the one seed or the two seed, and they end up having to play a game seven on the road as a result of one game being the deciding factor. Chances of that happening are small, and if it happens, well, they have three other games that they could win on the road too before then. So I just think the NBA has kind of set themselves up for this, and
it chalked this up as this is a making of their own doing.
Yeah, and so if they don't want this to happen, shorten the schedule by a little bit.
I tell you,
create
what,
a league where these games mean a little more than they do, and they're not going to do that. So then you have to live with what you kind of created for
yourself. I always knew you were a smart cookie, but when you start regurgitating stuff of somebody that I really enjoy listening to, and Jalen Rose almost said verbatim what you said.
I hadn't heard that.
I know you hadn't.
I don't want to toot my own horn here, but it's a smart way to view the season is how do we win a championship, not how do we win on November 6th.
He actually blames the NBA and the fans. Because for years, we only cared about, well, how many championships has he won? And so now, as you said, the league is created based on that very premise.
Yeah.
How do we win a championship? How do we get so-and-so his first, second, third championship? And you're right. It's something that I don't know if fans necessarily expected it to go down that way, but over time, it has evolved into just that. Guys are taking the time off, whereas before, it was unheard of. Like, if guys missed a game, it was because they were hurt and they couldn't play.
Which is admirable.
Right.
That's nice. That's the way I want my players to be. I want them to want to play every night. But from a team perspective, it's probably not the optimal way to win a championship.
But what do you say about my pocketbook? I paid money because I expected to see.
I think fans are allowed to be disappointed.
Okay,
you're allowed to be disappointed.
I'm allowed to be disappointed, but there's no like
take it up with the NBA, not with the Raptors and not with Kawhi Leonard. Not with the Clippers and not with Kawhi Leonard. That's where I place the blame is on the league that creates a system where I mean you don't see guys sitting out for workload management during the NFL season.
No, too many games
because
the
games are too important.
Right,
is too important.
So how do you make it more? Is it as simple as you just gonna cut the season down and make it?
But I don't think the NBA is going to do that. So I just think you live with this. You live with Kawhi Leonard not playing on November 6th, because that's fine.
Because really, in the big scheme of things, 82 games, he's missing seven.
Sure.
Maybe eight games.
If Kawhi Leonard were to go out and hurt himself tonight and not be 100% for the playoffs, like you don't think the NBA is losing a little more then when everyone in the world is tuning in to watch him play? If he can be 100% of Kawhi Leonard on May 31st because he sat out on November 6th. The NBA would take that trade-off every time. I think maybe what they're trying to do is discourage it a little bit, which I don't think they're in their right to do.
I hope you guys haven't already said this because I was editing audio and I do this quite often.
Everybody hold on.
But what if there was a rule against primetime games, so you can't sit against a team that's above a certain winning percentage?
It's a slippery slope because technically, based on what the NBA says, Kawhi Leonard is not 100% healthy. So they can't make somebody who's not 100% healthy go on the floor. I think there is – I don't know if there's exact language saying you can't miss primetime games, but I know it has been discussed. There have been memos that have gone out in the NBA about – you know, because at one point, there was one game I think a couple years ago before Tim Duncan retired where almost the entire Spurs team set out, almost the entire Cleveland team set out. And so on an ESPN game nationally televised, nobody was playing, and there was a kind of an uproar about it. And they sent memos out following that game.
It's not fair to those teams that have these stars and are on TV all the time, because if you make a rule saying if it's on national television, then they have to play, this guy has to play, or you have to play if you're not meeting some injury threshold. It's a slippery slope, like you said. It's also unfair to the teams that play 30 national TV games versus 5 that the NBA is going to scrutinize.
Right,
these
because
teams.
It's not all equally spread out amongst the teams.
Yeah, it really just comes down to the league having set up the situation where I think you said the Spurs were the first team to do that, and it was pretty clear that none of those guys were really hurt. They were just, I mean, it just made sense to sit them for
trying to get as much out of them.
Make a system where it means more to win during the regular season. I don't know, I'm just kind of spitballing here. I said the only way to do it is to cut the schedule. Maybe it's not. Maybe you give the one seed some extra advantages or something where they get better days off in the playoffs or they get 5 home games. I'm just kind of I don't know that any of these are definite answers, but you've set yourself up where the games don't really matter now, so guys can sit, whereas if they mattered more, they wouldn't sit.
Indeed it is. Clippers 5-2, Lakers 6-1. Everybody thought these two teams would be fighting it out atop the Western Conference. We're going to get more in the NBA because we got to hit the Eastern Conference. AJ's a big New York Nets fan.
New Jersey Nets,
Brooklyn Nets. He's a fan. We're going to get back in NBA later on, but we're going to step away, take a break. When we come back, one of our favorite Radio.com insiders, Channing Crowder, is going to join the show next. What does he think about an NFL franchise in London? We'll ask him. .418, Tony Gwynn Jr., AJ Cassavell sitting in for Chris Ello. Thomas Andrews on the ones and twos. You want me to read this after we get done?
Correct.
Or you want to read it now? All right, we'll read it after. All right, talking some NFL. Of course, the Chargers were in the news yesterday. Everybody wants to move them somewhere. It's either back here to San Diego.
LA.
They want to move them to London and another country. But I don't think it's going to happen, and we're going to talk about it a little bit more. On the line is Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Channing Crowder. As always, Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Channing, thanks for joining us. How are you doing today, brother?
Good, man. I appreciate y'all having me. How are things out there in San Diego? I know they're beautiful. I've been to San Diego before. It is awesome out there.
It is beautiful. We're having one of our really first fall days. The weather's been kind of crazy out here. So I want
crazy for San Diego.
Yeah,
standards.
Let me stop. Yeah, crazy for San Diego standards.
Yeah, bro, we have that down here. A cold front's moving through Miami, and it's going to be about 65. It's cold front. We're not San Diego weather, but I know what y'all are saying.
Yeah, you know exactly what we're talking about. One of the crazy things that's going on about 2 hours up the highway here is the Chargers. They a team that had done really well last year, has Super Bowl aspirations this year, but have played very well. And, of course, when you're not playing very well and the visiting team comes into your place and pretty much dominating the attendance, the theme there the last 3 years since they've been there is let's move them somewhere. How realistic is the Chargers going to London, A, and B, what is the infatuation with the NFL wanting to have a team in London?
Oh, well, first off, the infatuation is easy. It's money. The more eyes, the more money. Like, y'all know what it's about. It's a $9 billion recession-proof business that continues to make more money every single year. I don't care what the market's doing. I don't care what the anthem, the national anthem, protest stuff and all. They still made more money. So more eyes, international series. That's why we're going to Mexico. Last time, when they played in Mexico, it was an 80-yard field because it was, ripped up like – They're trying to get more eyes, therefore more jersey sales, therefore more money. So I understand the business side of it, but from a player perspective, moving a team to London is terrible, man. It's going to be so hard. Like, if I was playing and a team was in London, I would take less money to stay in the United States. The travel is going to hard to get my family out there. My nutritionist, my stretching guys, my doctors, it's so much stuff that a player does outside of the facility that he needs to be in the United States. Like, when I played, I had so many other guys, so many other ways to maximize my body, which is the players, which is their business, the Channing Crowder LLCs, the Phillip Rivers LLCs, the Joey Bosa LLCs. That's what the NFL is. So the whole London thing, I understand the push. I actually played in the first game over there in that international series, the Giants versus the Dolphins. They ended up whooping us, big Brandon Jacobs. I hit him a couple of times. I broke my face mask, hit him one time. He was a grown man. So I played it. It was nice. It's a beautiful city. It's fun to go over there. The players enjoy it. But we enjoyed the 8 days over there. Yeah. I don't want to be over there for 10 months. Like, that's just ridiculous. How would they do it? And I think that if they do move a team to London, that team will never compete because there's going to be guys that flat out say, I'm not going to play in London. I don't care how much money y'all pay me.
So then is it even a realistic thing? I mean, it's nice for the NFL to dream on because of the money that it would represent, but how could this ever come to pass if it is kind of so, I guess, widely criticized by everyone who's involved who would be needing to move to London or the logistics of getting players to want to be there? Like, how is this a realistic thing that you think in your mind could happen?
They could, thinking about it right now, they could actually maybe – that your salary would have to be higher. There has to be some kind of crazy stipend. You know what I'm saying? Some kind of crazy travel stipend. Some kind of crazy fun that the players get to dip into for the inconvenience of being over there, the traveling back and forth. The thing that they would have to argue with, minus the players not wanting to be there, because like you're saying, you throw a couple guys some money, you know, they'll go wherever to play ball. But
right.
the athletic, you know, problem, the part of going flying back and forth over and over again to try to play a game, getting on the plane. You know, I remember flying long flights, playing the Chargers when I was in Miami, playing Seattle when I was in Miami. You swell up on the plane. They tell you to wear these sleeves and take ibuprofen and all this stuff for a 4-hour trip. Now you want to have guys take 16-hour trips, 12-hour trips. It would be a disadvantage for the team that plays in London. So the NFL, if you take the money out of it, they know it doesn't make any sense. But they see those dollar signs. So they would have to do just crazy stipends. I would say the team in London would have multiple bye weeks. They would really have to work the schedule. They would have to work the schedule to perfection to where they come to the U.S. and they play 3 home games in a row and then go back to London and play 2 or 3 games in a row and just so they could take down on the travel. But to be honest, if I have to bet money on, I'm a gambling man. Now, I like the over and unders. I like the point spreads. I would bet there will not be a team in London just because of the disadvantage the team will have on the football field, period.
Yeah, ultimately, you can't have the actual product on the field suffer because of it. And based on the points you bring up, Channing, it seems like it would be a huge disadvantage for the visiting team having to go there 16, 12 hours and then have to play a game against a team that probably will be acclimated at the time being in London. Let me ask you this, Channing, because around football, one of the biggest surprises is the San Francisco 49ers. And even to this point right now, this team is undefeated. A lot of people still aren't quite buying it. What are you seeing from the San Francisco 49ers?
49ers can play ball, man. I was a doubter. I was a doubter a long time. I'm still a doubter on the Buffalo Bills. Okay record, but they haven't played anybody. So the 49ers have ballers at every level defensively. I'm not saying Jimmy Garoppolo's a top 15 guy, top 12 if you want to be nice. He's not an elite quarterback, but the run game that they put together. I'll tell you this, Kyle Shanahan, I love Andy Reid. I love Andy Reid. I played against Andy Reid and he was in Philly. Like, I love Andy Reid. He come out. We play against Andy. He comes out an offensive set, and you're on the field, and you're giving him props in your mind. You're like, oh, we've never seen this formation. We've never seen this motion. We've never seen this shift. Like I love Andy Reid. Kyle Shanahan is sneaking up on that. Like his scheme, the run, the different forms he runs out of. I enjoy the X and O's of football. You know, I'm a little football nerd when it comes to film. So just the 3 tight end sets, the 2 tight end sets, the wide open running, spread them out to run, bringing it in tight to pass. Like Kyle is on top of that. His daddy wasn't bad at it either, but he just, the offense is runs through Kyle. He's smart enough to do it, but defensively, man, what the press they get up front, the defensive backs, they have just every level, Sherman and just all those guys, Nick Bosa right now, I'm not talking about rookie of the year, fellas. I'm talking about defensive player of the entire league. Mm. That's the level Nick Bosa's playing at right now. There's some teams with good records, like Green Bay, who the Chargers end up whooping. There's some teams with decent records that you don't know about yet. I would say the 49ers are a team, especially in the NFC. Now, in the AFC, you got KC, you got New England. In the NFC, Seattle's okay. They end up getting whooped. The Patriots lost to Baltimore. Both of those teams are top level. But you go to the NFC, fellas, and I say the 49ers are right up there with the Saints as a team that could take over that division and represent them in the Super Bowl.
I want to switch over to the AFC. I think the story of the week right now is Lamar Jackson, and in my mind, it's early, but he's an early MVP candidate. How do you, if Bill Belichick can't solve that, my question is, how do you defend the things that he does? Because he's a very good passer, an elite runner, and there aren't many guys like him. And so I've always felt the mark of a good player is someone who can pick apart the Patriots, who can make things difficult on Bill Belichick. We saw what he did on Sunday night. How would you go about stopping that?
The bad thing is that most running quarterbacks, or the good thing for the Ravens, the bad thing for everybody else is most running quarterbacks don't have that arm like that. Like Michael Vick, you know, he evolved into it. Cam Newton, actually, he struggled, and he had his one good year, but now his athleticism is leaving him, and we're seeing, I believe, the Carolina Panthers to get rid of him. But with Lamar Jackson, we played him first game of the year. They beat the Dolphins 59-10. Like, who scores 60 points in an NFL game? We tried to load the box. Like, people would do, running quarterback, load the box. He's an extra runner. Okay, you have the handoff. You have the quarterback. You have the pitch man. Assignment football. If you take all those guys out of the secondary to try to stop Lamar, now you're in one-on-one. Now everybody's man-to-man. You might be in cover one, but we were sitting in cover zero a lot of times, worrying about Lamar's legs, and he destroyed us, had 300-plus yards passing. Him and Hollywood Brown. Hollywood Brown had like 125 yards on three catches against us. This year, Lamar, I don't know if they learned how to throw, but he became way more accurate. Coming out of Louisville, I was worried about his accuracy. His athleticism is there, man. Like I said, I played Michael Vick. They had me spy Michael Vick one time. He broke for 40. The coach told me, if you're spying him, don't look at him because then he knows you're spying him. I said, Coach, I said, Coach, how am I going to spy him if I don't look at him? Well, don't let him know you're spying him. I said, yeah, Coach, we need to change the defense right now because I'm supposed to spy at him, have a spy on him with no eye on the spy. Like, it was ridiculous. So I know how it is to play, you know, play a quarterback like that. But like I say, Vic and Algie Crumpler whooped us for about 400 yards one time. But that's what Lamar learned how to do. He was throwing dimes the first two or three weeks because after he whooped Dolphins, I kept watching Lamar. And I just see him develop. I see him throwing guys open.
Yeah.
A lot of young quarterbacks, they have to see a guy wide open to hit him. You see Lamar letting the ball go when the DB is still engaged with the receiver before his break. Like, John Harbaugh has done an amazing job of developing this young man. And I was a detractor, too. The running quarterbacks, the Josh Allen, he's been going back to Buffalo. He's not that good. Josh is an athlete that they put at quarterback. I thought Lamar was an athlete they put at quarterback, fellas. No, Lamar is a quarterback that's an amazing athlete. He proved that to me this year. And I would say, like you said, I'm perfect, man. I love Bill Belichick. He's a genius. He's my Andy Reid of defensive football. And if Bill Belichick can't stop you, which Bill, if you think about it, that's what the Patriots struggle with historically, is athletic quarterback. If Bill can't stop you, there's no way these first or second or third or fourth-year defensive coordinators are going to find a way to stop Lamar Jackson. Belichick has seen more football than we've thought about, and he can't stop them. I think that's why I'm saying the Ravens, because you were saying New England was the top team in the AFC, you know, Kansas City with Mahomes going down, but you have to give the Ravens some love up there as one of the top teams, not just in the AFC, but in the NFL.
Channing, as always, you were terrific, man. We appreciate you coming on. We'll catch up with you soon. Once again, thanks for coming on.
Appreciate you, bro. Anytime, man, let me know. I'm down here in Miami, so we got the same struggle of beautiful weather year round.
All right, Channing, take care. That was Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Channing Crowder. Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Once again, we want to say thank you to Channing Crowder. Jason Howell, you are our biggest fan. You have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973 to claim your pair of tickets to see Dana Carvey at Harrah's Resort SoCal on Saturday, February 1st. And you'll also be entered into our grand prize, a Vegas getaway that includes two tickets to the Mob Museum with the Underground Speakeasy Experience, dinner at Las Vegas Oscars Steakhouse, and a two-night stay at the iconic Plaza Hotel and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Make sure you sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter. Remember, Jason Howe, you have 10 minutes. All right, we're going to step away, take a break. When we come back, we hand the show over to Matthew Scraby for the Big Five. Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Tony Gwynn Jr., AJ Cassavell, just hanging out, Intercom Studios, on your drive home after work, maybe picking the kids up from school, just getting some sports talk in. Scraby, you ready with your big five, bro?
Yeah.
Sounds like it. All right, without further ado, here's Matt Scraby and his big five.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls, you fire!
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
We have... Wow, that was loud. We have a...
Stop screaming in the mic.
Sorry, I'm not meaning to.
Wow.
Thomas, we have a good Big Five today. If you have any Big
Says
Five
who?
Topics for me
oh, okay.
myself,
All right.
and I, find me on Twitter, at Matt Scraby. Let's get into it. Tomas.
Number five.
We're going to talk about a marathon stuff.
This should be interesting.
Joffrey Kamaror of Kenya won the most recent New York City Marathon in just over 2 hours, but some people say he cheated. And it all has to do with the type of shoes he is wearing. Here is a report from Good Morning America about the controversy.
Kamaror, other front runners, and many amateur athletes were seen sporting these neon pink Nike Vaporfly sneakers, which are made with a mixture of foam and carbon fiber plate shaped like a spoon, designed to catapult runners forward and reduce the amount of energy needed to do so.
It's all out or nothing.
The sneakers were developed as part of a project to run the world's first marathon in under 2 hours. And a New York Times study found that even amateur runners wearing them ran 3 to 4% faster. The five fastest men's marathons in history have all been run in the past 13 months by runners wearing Vaporflies.
Well, that's the controversy. Real quick, before we get into the question, have either AJ Cassavell or Tony Gwynn Jr. ran a marathon before?
Done triathlons. I've never done a marathon.
That's even more impressive.
No, it's less impressive. Marathons are a lot longer.
Really?
Yeah. Not an Ironman triathlon.
Oh, okay.
You were thinking he was swimming in the
like 100
ocean.
Miles of a bike ride and swimming with sharks.
You know what? That's on the bucket list, but
interesting.
I'm not anywhere
you
near
You want to
right
do
now.
That. That is very interesting that you actually want to do that.
I love
that.
It.
Good for you.
What about you, Tony?
Absolutely not.
Okay. I don't think I could. Do you think I could finish a marathon in 6 hours or less?
If you got these shoes.
Apparently.
Well, like you heard, the shoes are made to help them run better and save energy. So, Tony, do you think the use of this shoe is cheating in marathons?
Can everybody use it?
I assume so.
No, I don't think it's cheating.
Really?
I don't. I mean, listen, if I have access and it's really the shoes, it's got to be the shoes. If it's really that type of thing, I'm just going to go out and buy these shoes, and it should be as simple as that. I should be the next record-breaking runner.
Mev Kofleski.
Right. Mev Kofleski could be replaced by Tony Gwynn Jr. if I just go buy these shoes.
No, I don't think that's how it works.
No, it's not how it works?
No.
Oh, okay. Well,
no.
I don't see a problem with it.
Well, yeah, and nothing you said in the shoes had any, like, motors or anything. It just the
did you hear it was shaped like a spoon?
The technology gets just your foot
sounds
off
like
it's
gonna make my
faster,
foot hurt in the
yeah.
process. So I mean, I don't understand. Shaped like a spoon. What do you think, AJ?
I'm totally fine with it. I think if everyone can do it, and it doesn't, there's no aspect of what you said that makes them fast that seems like it would be frowned upon.
Well, I mean,
and not that I know running all
right,
that well.
3% faster. I don't even know what that equates to. If I'm running, I don't know, 11 miles per hour. 3% faster. I don't know.
Don't even look at me.
I don't know what that gets me to, but if everybody's getting that same 3% boost if you wear the shoe, I don't see
yeah,
a problem
with it. And this might be wrong, but I think, you know what, I'm just going to regurgitate something that I read when I was reading about the shoes the other day. I think they actually came from, the design came from shoes that were designed for amputees to help them run faster in their events, and It's kind of cool that
that's interesting that you say that they're designing it after that, because remember when Oscar Pistorius ran, they thought that it was cheating that he had those legs instead of human
legs. Yeah, I was about to say, remember we had Lacey Hernandez.
Yeah.
Henderson.
Yes.
I was messing it up last time, too. Henderson. We had Lacey Henderson on, and she was kind of giving us the background on those things. So It's a controversial thing in terms of the amputees who have to wear them, but it's in this case a shoe is a shoe and everybody has access to it.
And the rules are the rules,
right?
If you're,
they can easily go. There's a governing body in running. They can be easy to say we're going to outlaw this shoe, and then that's the end of it.
Number four.
Heading into this NFL season, Chicago Bears quarterback Mitchell Trubisky, we talked about him yesterday, he is getting thrown everywhere right now. Mm-hmm. And he was one of the names being thrown around as an early bet for MVP. But as we know, a lot can change, and Trubisky is very much out of the MVP race now. And one sportsbook is so sure of it, they are giving back money to anyone who bet on the Bears quarterback to take home the award. According to NBC5 Chicago, Points Bet Sportsbook, which offers bets to gamblers in New Jersey and Iowa, posted a video on social media telling everyone who bet on the player once named MVP Mitch that they would be getting their cash back. Here is the video they released.
Remember when Bears QB Mitchell Trubisky fooled everyone into thinking he could potentially be an MVP candidate this season? What a goal. Here at PointsBet, we saw a lot of action on Trubisky to win the MVP. Believe it or not, Trubisky was our highest liability on the MVP market heading into the season, as he opened with 100-1 odds and was bet all the way down to 60-1. So in honor of the trick Trubisky pulled on so many of us, this Halloween season we are treating bettors by refunding all Trubisky MVP bets.
Well, there you go. They were not shy in just making fun of him. But
is that local? That's in Chicago right there?
No, well, it's a New Jersey and Iowa sports book, only do it to that. But I'm honestly shocked that they're giving money back to people. This is crazy. Like, you made a bad bet on Mitch Trubisky, and they're giving
you
your money back.
Yeah, if you bet on Mitch Trubisky to win the MVP,
you should lose your money.
You don't deserve to have the money.
Exactly.
You get.
But the question, AJ...
You deserve to lose more.
Yeah. They should penalize you. AJ, who is your favorite right now to win MVP in the NFL?
I really think Lamar Jackson has a case, and we're only halfway there. I'm going to say Russell Wilson, just because I don't think the Seahawks are all that good aside from him, but I know he's been unbelievably accurate, and he's led a team that has a lot of question marks elsewhere to, I think, probably playoff contention, wild card contention, maybe even the division if they can win on Monday night. A lot of season left. Mm-hmm. Need to see these guys do it for longer. I think if Lamar keeps doing what he's doing, maybe he's does it for longer, maybe he's the guy.
What do you think, Tony?
It's Russell Wilson's to lose at this point. You just look at the division he plays in. He has the Rams in it. He's got the Niners in it. He's got, obviously, you know, the Cardinals haven't been just a walkover by any means with Kyler Murray running a quarterback position. And you look at what he's doing individually. I mean, this guy is as good as it can get at quarterback right now. Dual threat. Does it with an intelligence that... You know, I think most coaches are scared of their quarterbacks to play that game because you got to know when to get down. Something Lamar Jackson at an early age seemed like he's already figured out. But I would go with Russell Wilson right now. He's been really good. As much as I have really enjoyed watching Lamar Jackson do his thing, you know, we were talking about Bill Belichick not being able to control him. There was like at least four plays that I counted where he had the right call. And just one quick move changed the entire play.
Against a really good defense. Against maybe the best really defense of the defense. Last 10 years or whatever.
At least that's how it's looking. Now, they haven't played anybody. I'm not willing to go there yet. But very good defense, and he shredded them. But I still think it's Russell Wilson right now.
Well, I'm going to go with Nick Bosa, so.
You just said
number three.
I know. No, Russell Wilson is really, he's been really, really good this year.
Unfortunately, you guys got to see him, too.
On Monday Night Football, right here on 97.3 The Fan, will be holding that broadcast. I can't wait. The New York Jets have been awful this year. Sam Darnold, Tony's laughing at me. Sam Darnold has regressed. Le'Veon Bell was almost traded after being signed in the offseason. And head coach Adam Gase seems like he has put the Jets organization back a few years. And Jets fans are blaming it on Gase. I mean, who else are they going to blame it on? But others are blaming the terrible start on the terrible roster the Jets had coming into the year. Jets just gave the Dolphins their first win of the year, and the call for Gase to be fired is hotter than ever. Tony, will Adam Gase be the Jets head coach next year?
At this point, it's a coin flip. Like 50-50 right now. I know it's not necessarily something NFL teams like to do, although we saw it happen with the Cardinals. 1 year, didn't work out. They got rid of their head coach. This could be one of those situations. I mean, it's not as though he's coming from a stellar record in the previous place he just came from in Miami. We heard about it all last year from Chris. quite upset about the Miami Dolphins looking bad. And then I believe it was Chris who said, how in the world is he getting a job this fast after being that bad in Miami? So listen, you know, at some point, you have to call a spade a spade. Numbers haven't looked good in Miami. This team, I don't know about you guys, but Sam Darnold looks like he's regressed.
He has.
Since last year with under the helm of Adam Gase.
He also went out for mono and he lost some time. He couldn't be around his teammates.
But it's not as though he wasn't there for all the training camp, all of the things there.
Yeah.
And they have better players than they did the year before, and yet they look worse.
What do you think, AJ?
Yeah, I think when you hire a coach, when you hire Adam Gase, your whole goal is to develop your franchise quarterback who you spent a lot of resources on to trade up to get, who you've invested your future heavily in, and if he's regressing, then that coach isn't the right coach. And so Adam Gase has, in my opinion, the rest of the season to save his job, and maybe Sam Darnold does show signs of progress.
Right.
But until that happens, it's not his job next year. There needs to be some progress, or at least get Sam Darnold back to the level where there was some optimism at the end of last season. I think right now it just looks ugly.
How many years would you say a one-and-done head coach sets back your franchise? 2, 3, maybe? You know what I'm saying?
Well, if they get like the number 3 pick and get Chase Young out of Ohio State, maybe it helps them out. Maybe having an inept head coach will get you that pick.
That's
true.
That's the thing, right, is that because a quarterback can have such an impact on a team, as bad as you are 1 year, that could change from no losses to 500. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've seen that. And so doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, the team that you just, you know, pack it in, but there's a chance, you know, that he has a chance to try to salvage his job here. I'm sure, especially in that place in New York. Ooh, that spotlight's going
to be. He doesn't really even look like he wants to be there anymore.
Well, when you're getting your butt kicked every week, probably nobody looks like they want to be there.
I mean, you're letting the Dolphins win.
I don't know if he let them
win. You need the right guy for Sam Darnold.
Right. That's what the bottom line is.
Point, and right now,
you need
it doesn't
like a
look like
quarterback whisperer or something.
Whoever.
Number 2.
An exorcist to get those ghosts out of there.
Did you say an exorcist?
Exorcist. Mm. What did Saquon yesterday say? Is superstitions?
Superstitions.
Wow. the Carolina Panthers have placed franchise quarterback Cam Newton on injured reserve after his foot injury he suffered in the preseason got any better.
Wow. What happened there?
I don't know.
I don't know what's going on with my mouth right now.
Thomas!
Thomas is all over it.
Yeah, he is. In the meantime, the Panthers have found they have a quarterback in Kyle Allen who has played well enough to get a spot as a starter in the NFL after going 6-1 since taking over. Here is Panthers head coach Ron Rivera talking about Cam Newton going on the injured reserve.
Cam worked very hard and working towards getting better. And, you know, he went up, saw Dr. Anderson, and he's progressing. We feel right now probably the best thing was to put him on IR and move forward. And that's where we are with the guys. I really do appreciate everything Cam does. I appreciate the fact that he's still here. He still wants to be around and be part of it. And he's done a great job doing that.
I need to go on IR after this performance. But this has many experts thinking the Panthers are going to trade Cam Newton and go with Kyle Allen. AJ, what team would be the best fit for Cam Newton's services?
So after this season?
After this season.
I think if I'm remembering correctly, he signed that contract, and now it's not as burdensome, so he has 1 year left on that, so it's not that bad.
Yeah.
So maybe the Bears. I mean, I've said that a few times because I think they're a pretty good roster minus their awful quarterback, and so if you throw a guy in there who can, I mean, he's got a guy to throw to, and Allen Robinson, who I think is one of the better receivers in football, maybe one of the more underrated receivers in football because he hasn't had guys who are capable of throwing to him.
kind of makes it hard to play this position.
Yeah. Is Allen Robinson from Penn State too?
He is. Yeah.
I knew there was something to it. Like Allen Robinson.
Stud.
Okay.
He's a stud.
The guy is objectively a stud.
All right.
But I think the Bears are an option. There's some other teams that I'm sure.
But the Bears are probably.
You
got to
figure
one out
with your cap, but. If Cam Newton's Cam Newton, he's worth whatever that cap hit is.
Yeah. Tony, what do you think?
What is the actual question?
What team would be the best fit for Cam Newton's services?
Oh, yeah, it's the Bears. It's definitely the Bears. They come with the defense that travels and that probably would benefit from a good quarterback. Not even a good quarterback. They benefit from an okay quarterback.
Are they a Super Bowl contender with Cam Newton?
Yes.
Depends if it's Cam Newton.
True. If it's the hurt Cam Newton, maybe
well, no,
not.
No, I mean.
But if
I think even if it's hurt if, Cam, if it's
if
90%, Cam Newton.
If I'm going to say 80, 90%.
Last season's Cam Newton.
The first 8 games, for sure.
Yeah.
Then he had the shoulder injury. Remember, people forget, Cam Newton was having a career year in terms of completion percentage before the shoulder injury last year. And then when he tried to fight through it, everything looked really bad. But that just wasn't the case early in that season. So if you get that Cam Newton back, the Bears are immediately a Super Bowl contender.
The Bucs could be a fun one. Same division. I don't know if that's a thing, but if Jameis isn't there...
I don't think is going to come back.
I'm not sure. Jameis is, if you look at his numbers, he's having a pretty good year.
He turns the ball over way too much.
It seems as though... I always mess up their head coach's name.
Bruce Arians.
Yes. It seems like he likes Jameis.
Yeah.
Good, right, wrong, or indifferent. The head coach likes you. You're probably coming back.
Number one.
The Lakers have secured their longest win streak in 9 seasons after last night's 118-112 comeback road win against the Bulls for the team's 6th straight victory. While that win made a small bit of history for the Lakers, LeBron James is closing in on some team history as well. He finished with 30 points, 10 rebounds, and 11 assists, marking his 3rd consecutive game with a triple-double. That ties the longest triple-double streak in his career, but also moves him within a game of the longest triple-double run in Lakers history in 32 years. Per Elias Sports, James is the first Laker with 3 straight triple-doubles since Hall of Famer Magic Johnson, logged 4 in a row in 1987. And we all know Russell Westbrook averaged a triple-double for an entire season a few years ago. So my question to you guys, and Tony, you're up first, is the triple-double easier to reach, harder to reach, or has the difficulty not changed at all versus other times in NBA history?
Oh, it's way easier to reach now. The game is wide open. It's not as much of a half-court game as it used to. Much more pick and rolls, which anytime the floor is opened up, it allows for guards to get in there and get boards, for guys who are on the perimeter to get more boards. And, you know, that's for the guards, that's usually the toughest part of the triple-double, is getting the boards. And with the game wide open, long rebounds, there's so many things that benefit the player in terms of being able to get numbers in today's NBA versus even the early 2000s NBA, right? It was just a different game, different rules. You know, can't put your hands on anybody now. A lot of flagrant fouls that should just be fouls. A lot of stuff places. But answer your question, yes, it's easier to get triple-doubles and accumulate numbers now than it ever was.
AJ, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to use basic math. I think there's more points being scored now, so that has more opportunities for guys to get assists and for guys to score, which only leaves rebounds. And then the way the game's changed, if more guards are shooting, then that kind of spreads the rebounds around a little bit more evenly. I think it's probably less impressive now, or at least it's easier to do. It's still really impressive.
Yeah.
And we should still celebrate the accomplishments, like 100%. What LeBron's doing and like what Russell Westbrook's doing.
I mean,
the game's
agree.
Changing, but it's still really freaking cool.
We shouldn't just say the triple-double's irrelevant, because it's not. It's a really hard feat to pull. Yes, it's way easier. I mean, even with the fact that there are so many just better shooters, there are more assists to be had, right? I mean, now you don't have to put the ball in the post to your big guy for to get an assist. You can just give it to him behind the line. He can knock a 3 down in the way that the game is played today. So it certainly is. I like both games. Honestly, I grew up watching 80s Lakers, 90s Lakers. But I enjoy both games. I enjoy today's wide open game just as much as I like the old school game. The fact is, once the playoffs come around, you get a little mix of both anyway, which is even better.
I know your dad was an assist guy. Was he a double-double guy?
I don't know if he was
in
a double-double
guy. In college, because doesn't he holds the record for assists,
still holds
right?
the record yeah. for assists at San Jose State. I don't know if I would say he was a double-double guy, like, consistently, but I'm sure he had more than a fair share.
All right. Thank you. Good job. Good stuff.
Oh, I always get confused between that one and the countdown.
Yeah. The countdown is now closed.
All right. 2 hours deep. 3rd hour right around the corner. We're going to reset the show. MLB free agent update. I got the perfect guy here to talk about it, too. AJ Casavell, dropping some knowledge.
Let's talk baseball. November baseball.
November baseball. Of course, the winter meeting's not too far. They'll be here in San Diego. We'll be there. Live. Gwen and Chris, 97.3. The Fan.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.